Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is TWiT Photo with Catherine Hall and Leo LaPorte. Episode 14, recorded June 28, 2011. Art Wolf. TWiT Photo is brought to you by Squarespace.com, the fast and easy way to create a high-quality website or blog. For a free trial and 30% off your new account for 3 months, go to Squarespace.com and use the offer code TWITPHOTO6. And by Netflix.com. Watch thousands of TV episodes and movies on your PC, Mac, iPad, or iPhone instantly. TV too. All stream directly to you, saving you time, money, and hassle. For your free 30-day trial, go to Netflix.com/TWiT. It's time for TWiT Photo, the show that talks all about photography from the point of view of the enthusiast, the normal person, not the mad photographer. We do have a mad photographer, however. The great Catherine Hall is here from CatherineHall.net. Hi, Catherine.
Yes, I am a mad photographer, Leo.
No, you're a wonderful photographer. One of my favorite
photographers. I think all pro photographers are mad.
You have to be a little crazy to be...
Tony's shaking his head.
You're an artist, right? Yeah. I mean, isn't a photographer an artist?
I think art's a little mad.
Do you consider what you do art?
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Is a photojournalist an artist?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so.
I think people that cook are an artist. Like, yeah. I think any kind of creative expression is a form of art.
I agree. So that's how we'll define it. It's creative expression. And boy, what you do is so beautiful. Today, we have a really interesting fellow joining us.
Yes, I'm so excited. Art is... Well, first of all, starting off, I'm not too easily impressed, I must say. And his work literally blows me away. He's been shooting for 30 years and he's been every continent. He's pretty much written 60 books.
Wow.
That is a lot of freaking books.
He's got a new one for dog lovers coming out. We'll talk about that in a little bit.
Yeah, he's captured over 1 million images in his lifetime. So that's a lot. And part of those with film. So keep that in account. And he's also won many awards, including the Alfred Eisenstadt Award, which is a really big honor.
And he apparently likes wildlife photography. And you know what? The wildlife likes him. This is a video that Art put up on YouTube just to give you an idea of who our guest is and what he's like.
When photographing wildlife, it's important to be able to sneak up on your subject. And in that sense, it's better to be camouflaged like a seal. If you look like a seal, you can get in close.
I think the seal really likes him.
Ow! Ow! Oh, now this other one comes.
Oh, that's the one. Hold still. That's
hold still. Hold still. I got the shot. See, that's a good photographer. Yeah. He knows when to sacrifice himself.
Come on, new one. Do one. Oh, there we go. Now. He's so curious. Oh, is he gonna touch my lens? Don't touch my lens. Oh. Okay, if you blow snot on my lens. Ah, that's what I said. Don't do that. Ah, excuse me. Now look at that.
Even seals chimp.
Do you trust me? Do you think Even I look chimp. Like your mother? That's it, baby. Your diamonds.
Art Wolf will join us just a little bit.
That's it. Your diamonds is my favorite part.
Your diamonds. Yeah. When you sent me that clip, I sent you a note back
exactly.
saying, your diamonds, Catherine.
It's
your
hilarious.
Diamonds. This portion of the show, and Art will be joining us in just a few minutes. This portion of the show, in fact, the whole show, and we thank him so much, is brought to you by our great friends at Squarespace.com. They know that photographers are a big part of their business because photographers, you got to have a website. If you're just an amateur to share with friends and family, and sure, you could put photos on Flickr or, you know, other sites, but it's really great to have your very own. And that's what Squarespace is. It's the secret behind exceptional websites. Fantastic software that makes it really easy. Catherine, maybe you should just consider this instead of all the pain you're going through with WordPress. Yeah, look at this. It'll take your WordPress blog or movable type or typepad or blog and import it. Everything works. All the links, all the posts, all the images, even the comments are imported. And by the way, you're never trapped there. They're exported as well, so you can always move on to another site. Squarespace has a great iPhone and iPad app, not just for posting, but for stats and for moderating comments. Great comment system on there. Look at this. Look at the stats you get. You get so much information.
I'm addicted to stats.
Yeah. And see this site search enabled? It is SEO friendly. That means the Google can find your site easy with Squarespace. Take a look at some of the great Squarespace examples. In fact, if you're into photography, go to this photography section of the examples. These are pro photographers who use Squarespace for their sites. Now, here's the deal with Squarespace. Very affordable. It's hosting and software. Now, why do you want them together? Well, for one thing, you don't ever have to worry about security updates. Do you update your WordPress all the time? I bet you do. You better be.
Well, that's why I need a search developer.
Yeah, you better be.
Somebody hasn't been doing their job.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's very important. You know what? We had an old WordPress blog on one of our servers, and the hackers got in. That's how they got in. So you got... This is the beauty about Squarespace.
Well, I might have to leave the show right now.
Go, quick, fix. If you're on Squarespace, you
don't
have to worry.
You can take it from here.
It's always
I'll give you
up
my
to
questions.
Date. Stay. Don't move. It's always up to date. It's always completely secure.
Hey, Trish, take note of that. Update WordPress.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. You have to update WordPress almost all the time. This is done for you on Squarespace because they do the hosting. It's really good hosting, too. People always say to me, Leo, who's a good host? And yeah, they're good hosts. There are lots of them out there, but there's also lots of bad ones out there, and you don't really know. Take it from me. Squarespace is the best. You will never go down. You'll never run out of bandwidth. They have some very sophisticated stuff.
A little, some water.
Yeah. Yeah. Get her some water because she's choking. She's verklempt. She's dying here. Squarespace is the secret behind exceptional websites. As little as $10 a month, but if you go there right now, and use the offer code TWITPHOTO6. See that? All one word, TWITPHOTO6. You can start your Squarespace site, run it for 3 months, and at 30% off for the first 3 months. You love that? But do try it free. That's one of the nice things that they do at Squarespace.com. They have a big green try it free button. See that? All you have to do is provide the name of the site, password, and email address, and you are diamonds.
Diamonds.
Squarespace. .com, offer code TWITPHOTO6. TWITPHOTO6. All right, I am going to get Mr. Art Wolf on the line right now. We are going to talk to Art. Let me push all the magic buttons. And I hope he got that seal off his back. I've heard of a monkey on your back, but a seal on your back? What is it about photographers and African art? They all have masks and African art behind them.
I not only have African masks, but I've got New Guinea, South America, and everywhere else in between.
And now you're just showing off.
I am.
And he's probably been to every one of those places. Art Wolf, welcome to Twit Photo. It's great to see you.
Thank you. I'm excited to be with you guys this afternoon.
Well, we're thrilled to have
you.
Yeah,
do you collect things when you travel?
I do. My house is virtually a museum, replete with little wall placards that indicate where I collected, what the material was, what the tribe was. I often open up my house to various organizations for fundraisers and auctions. And it's my way of celebrating my history. I have such a bad memory at my advanced age that if I didn't have things around me, I would forget what I actually do.
I mean, you did a show called Travels to the Edge. I mean, certainly you've been doing some traveling. I hear that.
When was that? I forgot all about that.
I hear that. Is season two coming up?
We did one and season two, and now we've taken a pause to regroup.
Look at all the places. Look
I know.
At this.
And honestly, the show art is fantastic.
Thank you.
It's totally well, as you can tell from a seal video, he's funny. Yeah. And so anyway, he keeps it very entertaining and very watchable, but at the same time, you're learning a lot at the same time. So it's one of those things where you're entertained, and then when it's over, you walk away feeling better, like, you're a better person. You learned. You grew.
Well, you know, I should have you write copy for that show because that's exactly spot on, Catherine. What I want to do is first and foremost to inspire people and then to inform them and make them care about a place, whether they'll ever get there in their lifetime or not. It's a tiny planet out here in deep space, and we ought to know who shares the planet with us, what environments are at risk, and so forth and so on. So the show entertains and has its devoted following But at the end of it, I want people to have learned something.
You can see it on public television all over the country. And
I might add now in 60 countries around the world.
That's awesome.
That's amazing. Oh, my gosh.
That is the cutest picture.
So, Art, do you ever bring any other photographers?
I often,
AKA young women.
Attractive young women.
Do you know any young women besides yourself? Would you like to go on a trip with me?
My favorite was the Ethiopia trip. And I was like dying, wishing that I could be there the entire time. Except for when the car got stuck. One of the times the car got stuck.
I'm going to go back there. I love Ethiopia. And I was about to say that in the interim from the TV show, I've been working on a new book called The Human Canvas. And it's all about adornment around the world, but also here at home. And so I'm combining modern studio photographs and paintings with traditional tribal work throughout the world. And I have to say, it's the most engaged I have been with a project in a long time. And I think it just naturally fell after the Travels to the Edge. I had to have the next great project before I start up season 3. And this one really filled in.
We have somebody in the chat room says, I can't believe Art Wolf is on the show. I love his TV show.
Yeah.
That's nice.
You've got a lot of fans out there. So these are some of the pictures.
He's making me look good, Leo.
Look at that. Look at these. These are incredible pictures.
Thank you.
Do you prefer taking pictures of people or wildlife, or does it matter?
You know, I think Galen Rowell once said of me that I have the greatest range of any photographer working today. Now, whether it's true or not, that's what I ascribe to have on my marquee is that I love shooting it all. The grand landscapes, the intimate landscapes, tribes, modern culture, and wildlife. So virtually any given day, I can go out and find a subject and fall in love with it.
I miss Galen. He was a really talented, wonderful photographer.
Yeah, he was great for photography, and I'm privileged to have known him and been a friend of his for a long time.
Yeah. Wow. And in fact, it's interesting you mentioned his name because some of your stuff does remind me quite a bit of Galen's work.
I think all modern photographers draw and are informed and inspired by our colleagues. Yeah. Nobody lives in a bubble. It was true during the Renaissance and Impressionist era. They all worked and hung out together, and you can see direct correlations between the works of Manet, Monet, Degas, Seurat. Artists knew each other. And in today's world, photographers know and influence each other.
Is there an equivalent of a kind of Parisian salon for photographers?
Well, we certainly have some national organizations, and some of my top colleagues and I see each other, I wouldn't say every year, but at least every other year we run into each other and share notes from the field.
That's neat.
So speaking of art, didn't you start off doing more traditional art, like painting? And
absolutely.
Interesting.
I was one of those little kids that was always in the wooded ravine on the outskirts of Seattle. I had little bird egg collections. I knew virtually every plant in the forest, every bird, every mammal. I was a young naturalist at an early age. At the same time, my mom was a commercial artist, and so watercolor paintings were all part of my growing up, all the way through, I might add, to graduating from college. I was a painting major. I took a lot of art education. And during the college years, I also got into climbing. And it was at that point where a camera came along to document the climbs. And that inevitably switched my allegiances from painting to photography.
Did you know, Leo, that he started off doing machine art at an early age?
What's machine art?
I don't know. Art, why don't you tell us?
I have not a clue what you're talking about.
Machine art?
What were you smoking before?
I'm still doing it.
Machine art. Let me think. What could I have said that made you think the word was machine?
Well, let's just put it this way. Did you have an older brother growing up?
Oh, okay. Thank you. We had a previous conversation. And my older brother, God, that only shows you, Catherine, how old I am. Just last night, I was telling Catherine that my brother and I had a contentious relationship. We're very good friends now. But he was older and stronger, and his way of ending an argument was punching me in the shoulder, at which time I would go down into the tool shed and grab a ball peen hammer. And,
oh, my God.
make indentations on his favorite thing, which was his car. And so I read a little bit about Pavlov, and I was trying to teach him the whole idea of a Pavlovian response. You hurt me, you get a new dent.
Yeah.
That's machine art. That was very
instead he started drooling.
He described it as beautiful texturing.
Well, I'm just...
Even at this point, if we bring that subject up to my brother some 45 years later, he doesn't quite crack a smile. He just looks at me like, well, all right, that happened. But, that's what brothers do. They fight.
Art's got a new book coming out. How many books have you written now?
God, I haven't written a single book. I've dictated some. I've photographed many. And the book I think you're referring to is a book entitled Dogs Make Us Human. And it's, I think, going to be one of the most popular books in my career simply because everybody owns a dog. And sure. I don't. I can't afford to have a dog since I'm on the road.
That's what I asked Catherine, because my dog's in the studio with us, and I asked Catherine, and she said the same thing. She travels too much.
Yeah. And I love dogs. And I love my friends' dogs, but I cannot be that irresponsible to always put the dog in a daycare or my friend's house when I'm traveling, because it's just too often.
So this is pictures of people from around the world with their dogs.
Therein lies the secret of this book. It was a book that I started photographing without knowing it was a book some 40 years ago. Actually, 30. I'm dating myself a little bit.
This is an amazing. These pictures are amazing.
And it's what it says about humans is that we all need companionships. We actually created dogs out of wolves 40,000 years ago. And virtually every culture I've traveled throughout the earth has some sort of dog.
Interesting.
And that was really the gist of this book.
So how many of your books happen by accident? What I mean by that, you're shooting, you get a body of work and you say, oh, this would be a great idea. I'm going to do a book on dogs. Or what percentage is like that or preconceptualized?
I would say probably two-thirds of them, the vast majority, are preconceptualized, where I have an idea, I want to do it, and the rest are, for instance, the dog photos kind of wound up in my file being accumulated without ever having the intent of bringing them together. I'd be, for instance, walking through the back streets of Lhasa, Tibet in the winter of 1984, and there would be a funny little kid with a funny little dog. And naturally, as a photographer, you photograph it.
Right.
But my main intent was to try to struggle up the northeast ridge of Mount Everest. But over the course of that trip and so many that followed, I would see an interesting canoe full of tribal people coming out of the interior of Borneo with dogs in their canoe. So I would grab the shot. And it was only about 2.5 years ago, I was talking with our author that this could possibly be coalesced into a book that would connect with a lot of people. And I believe it will.
I think you're right. What a great idea for a book, Art.
Thank you.
So Art has prepared. I'm so impressed by our guests.
Yeah, I know.
They work so hard.
I know. Art, I love your staff, by the way. I think we give a little applause.
Bravo.
Yeah. Bravo.
In fact, that's another thing I'm learning from doing this show is that great photographers have great assistants.
Great. It's a team.
Yeah.
Right, Art? Isn't it totally a team?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. My main assistant is in Thailand. I've got a second co-photographer that leads workshops with me by the name of Jay Goodrich. He lives about 60 miles north with his family. And I draw upon these two really good photographers and, more importantly, really good human beings to travel with me, to conduct workshops, to collaborate on projects. And I feel enriched by their presence.
So you have prepared for us, I'm very grateful to you, some tips. And I even have a PDF with examples to make this easy for everybody involved, including
me. How cool is that?
Aren't you awesome for
you
doing
this?
Totally awesome.
Thank you. You're totally awesome. So, Catherine, why don't you lead us through the tips? I have them here on the screen, and I will. Do you have them in front of you, or I can just it says it on the
tip. On the thing, yeah. So I can look.
You can look. Read the tip, Catherine.
All right. Tip one, don't have a confusing subject.
What do you mean?
Don't photograph Leo.
I'm confused, not confusing. I think there's a difference.
So both Leo and Catherine, I draw these tips from a long history of critiquing photos in workshops and in seminars. And if a photo comes up and I look at it and I'm pondering what on earth was the photographer thinking, then I would gently suggest they may have failed in communicating what was important to them. If I look at an image like this, there's no overt subject, you know.
Yeah, what am I looking at?
Interesting. Well, it's not even interesting. It's a mountain valley in Bhutan, for instance. But within that, there's a lot of shots. And I think that's a really common mistake. People get so excited about their subject. Mm. So within that one landscape, these are photos that I would zoom in and make important. For instance, the architecture of Bhutan might do something. I mean, it's unequivocal that that's a subject.
Yeah.
Here, a tight shot of rocks in a long exposure contrast the blurred texture of the river against the chiseled granite rocks that lie along the river's course. There's no debate what the subject is. In this shot, it's about how the Bhutanese farmers terrace their fields up in the high Himalaya. So I like to shoot tight, unequivocal images, even if it's an abstract like this shot of rocks and bamboo poles on a corrugated roof, it becomes an abstract. But there's no debate what the intent of the composition is.
It's geometry too, isn't it?
It's geometry. So I show this photo and this series just to show how you can zoom in and make something unequivocal. Whether you like it or not, at least you know what you're not liking or what you like.
Yeah.
So that's a very common thing. Is people tend to shoot a little too loose. They get excited about that goat on a ridge that you can hardly see, and they aim their camera, and then, you know, you virtually need Leonard Nimoy to go in search of it.
Now, let me just ask you behind the scenes how you composed this great lesson. Did you take this picture first and then crop it, or did you zoom in with her?
Actually, I had it as, and it's a great question, Leo. I have been working on compiling a series of seminars that I have been presenting around the country for the last year and will continue throughout the year 2012. And so it's 6 hours of workshops. And for the most part, I'm drawing from an extensive archive. But then there's concepts like this that I went out specifically to shoot. And I was leading a photo workshop in Bhutan. And I thought, all right, this is a great place to shoot wide because it has at least 5 or 6 or 7 tight shots within.
Yeah.
So I just composed it and built it to exemplify the points I was trying to make.
Totally amazing.
Do you recommend to photographers, once they've captured a shot, especially when they're just initially learning, once they've captured a shot, to try to take the same shot in different perspective, angle, zoom, or how do you go from that, you know, the initial instinct, like you said, they get excited, they take the shot, to the more zoomed in perspectives that you're showing?
I teach that way, definitely. I say, okay, what is it that you're trying to say? And then zoom in and remove the extraneous detail because they only serve to distract from your original intent. But I also, as you alluded to, I'll say after having shot that, walk it around. You know, walk around, look at it from different angles, and then try a different lens. And so you could come away from any given situation with 3 or 4 or even 6 original different compositions. And from the point of view of a working photographer, the more variety you can exact out of any given situation, the better you are. Of course, you would be that.
Tip 2 is anchor your subject.
Okay, well, let's see what that means. All right. So in this
case, this help if I show you this?
Yeah.
He forgets his tips already. Moment,
right. So remember the ball peen hammer?
So I start with these two white triangles, and that can symbolize a horse in the field, a bear in a forest, or a tree in a forest. And people tend to just isolate them in the middle because that's the most important element.
Right.
And what I try to argue is develop a connection within the framing of the picture, the rectangle that goes around that subject, and develop a relationship between the positive, which is the subject, and the negative, which is the space around it. Mm. And the more those you can strike a balance between that positive and negative space, the more solid, the more thoughtful, the more controlled the shot which gives it validity and weight.
So and this is an example.
This is a very ugly shot of rocks that I've piled up along the rocks, along the shore of Strait Juan de Fuca, the body of water that separates Canada from Washington State. And then I went around and shot them in silhouette. And this is what I was after.
Wow.
Those three shots are three piles of rocks are virtually exactly what those white triangles were. Isn't and then I zoom in. And then I start to make that case that you can shoot it a number of different ways. But in this image, in that series of images that follows, there is a relationship between the white and the dark, the positive and the negative.
Very interesting.
Yeah. So wow. Anchor your subject. Tip two. Okay, so now tip three. Work your subject until you get your shot.
Exactly. And, you know,
like the seal, Art, right?
Yeah, he was working the seal.
You did not just...
You're diamonds, baby. You're diamonds.
You know, it is absolutely true that it's the fifth, sixth, or seventh shot in a series that usually are the best for me. It's not the first thing that I walk up and shoot. I'm just getting the juices flowing at that point, and I'll start to work it. And the longer I stay with the subject, the more it will reveal itself. And so I think a lot of novice photographers have the belief that if you're a seasoned professional, you just walk up, get one shot, you walk down and on. And what I tend to do is just work it. And here's a series of two men in Western Mongolia. They're Kazakh people. They have this tradition of raising golden eagles to hunt foxes during the winter months. Very unique, very traditional, very ancient tradition. And here I'm trying to photograph them in this open, sparse landscape. And as you see these photos, you'll see I had to work it. You know, wow. The eagle is not happy with my close proximity. It's casting shadows on the face, or the father's casting his shadows on the face of his son.
Right.
And I'm working really strong light, and I'm moving myself around, and eventually it starts to reveal itself, and I get
Wow.
So, yeah, it's usually after you stayed with it, and I've put – 5 or 6 frames through the camera that I start to really feel like I know the subject.
That's amazing.
So any tips on, you know, especially working with people, keeping them patient during this process?
Especially guys with a big hawk.
You'd be surprised with a little handgun just sitting
in. Do you bring your mallet with you when you shoot?
Yeah. You know, the truth of the matter is that I go in with a very open and heart, very happy to be there. I exude warmth to these people, and I'm smiling all the time, and I'm not trying to sneak a shot. They know that I'm there. I often bring
an
interpreter to explain why I'm there.
Yeah.
Often I'll put my camera in their hands and show them how to take a picture, and I'll have them photograph 2 or 3 shots of me before I even think about taking pictures of them. So I get them psychologically and emotionally on board before I start to shoot, and I get really good results of that. You know, humans are human, and I play to that fact that they may not have the technology I do, but they're probably just as sophisticated on an emotional level as anybody in the modern world. And so you really respect them and let them know that you're honored to be in their presence.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually, going with that, when you're traveling, how often are people, I'm assuming the experience in itself is, since you're having such a positive interaction, that you're probably not getting asked for compensation that much. However, when you are, how do you handle that?
If somebody asks me for some sort of money, and I'm, for instance, I recently was in Myanmar and photographing villagers in the boats. And I would ask the villagers or the boatmen, so to speak, to move a little this way or that way. And they may devote 15 minutes so that I can get a shot. I actually insist on tipping them because I've taken 15, maybe 20 minutes out of their lives. It's very little. You know, it's equivalent to 50 cents or $1, which means a lot to them as a gesture. And I feel good about that. I've run into people in my workshops that always feel indignant about that. But for me, it's almost becomes a contract with the people I'm photographing. You know, they've granted me access and I'm giving some sort of offering in return, and everybody leaves the situation with a good feeling. And then the vast majority of the time, people are just happy that you're singling them out. Here's a stranger from a different world paying attention to them and wanting a photo of them, and they just feel pleased and happy to be part of that. So it depends on, but rarely do I come away from any shoots over the last 30 years with any kind of anger or stress or feeling that, wow, that really didn't go the way I had hoped. I just come away with a very good feeling. And people pick that up on, they are big fans of the TV show. It just unfolds right in front of the cameras.
We're going to take a break. We're talking with Art Wolf, artwolf.com with an E at the end of Wolf. The TV show, I hope, comes back for a third season soon.
It will. Yeah, it will.
Going to have a co-guest photographer for at least one episode.
A special young lady. Just for you, Art. But before we go on with Art and his picture of the week, this is one of the features I love
I know.
Is we ask our photographers to pick up a meaningful shot for them and talk about how they made it. And we've got a pretty amazing picture Art that we'll talk about in just a second. Before we do that, though, I'd like to talk about our friends at Netflix. I think I don't have to tell you about Netflix. Netflix.com/twit for a 30-day trial. It is a fantastic, did I like this Mother's Brothers Comedy Hour? Yes, I did. So now it's going to recommend some shows that I can watch instantly. This is one of the things I really like about Netflix. Ooh, this is good. I want to see this. The Genius Within the Inner Life of Glenn Gould, the Burns and Allen. They've got old TV shows. They've got new TV shows. Mad Men now.
I love Mad Men.
I know. You can watch all three seasons right here on Netflix for just $7.99 a month, unlimited. This is their Netflix watch instantly. And I got to say, I was watching. I'd missed the Louis C.K. show when it came out. And so I was going back because the new season's starting and watching the old shows. And it's been so much fun. I'm just really crazy about it. In fact, I have to say, I hardly watch cable anymore. If you're ready to get unplugged, disconnected, this is the way to do it. Netflix for $7.99 a month. $7. I have to say that. $7.99 a month.
Dollars.
Because we're in the U.S.
Well, the way cable bills are, it could be $7.99.
Yeah.
$7.99 a month. Netflix.com/twit. Now, look, the problem with this ad is you all already have Netflix. I know. I'm not telling anybody something they don't already know. So do me a favor, share this with your friends and family, too.
Watch Netflix, Art?
Of course he does.
No, but I do watch a lot of movies.
He likes foreign films.
Oh, well, let me show you some foreign films.
Does Netflix...
This is great. So
we may have a new customer in Art.
Oh, let me tell you. I mean, the international stuff is fantastic on here. Look at all the categories, you know. I bet you someday your TV show will be on Netflix. And lots of... My daughter is... lived in France for a year, so she loves. So we're just watching a ton of French movies on Netflix. Watch instantly. I just love it. Netflix.com/twit. That's all I'm going to say. Tell your friends, tell your family. If you like movies, if you like TV shows, you don't want to spend a lot of money and you don't want to plan ahead, you just want to sit down and watch, this is a great way to do it. Our guest, Art Wolf, artwolf.com, the new book. When will that be out, the dog book, Art? Do you know?
I would say no later than early October. With most books, especially well-illustrated books, they are hitting the fall Christmas season.
Oh, yes, so of course.
Invariably, they're going to be coming out at the end of September or early October.
Kind of like a coffee table book.
That's exactly correct. Yeah.
Dogs, great Christmas present.
Oh, for anybody who loves dogs. Dogs make us human. You know,
it's a good book. It's absolutely a spot-on title, because when I watch these people with their dogs, I mean, they could be impoverished. Honestly, most of the book was photographed all throughout the world, from the Himalayas to the Sahara to the Amazon. But then I spent the last year photographing Western culture, and you have everything from people in gay pride with their little leather dogs to people on the street where the dogs are curled up under a blanket with them. And that dog is there for that person unequivocally.
Yeah.
And it's the same way for the person towards the dog. So the connection is strong and actually a beautiful thing to see.
You know what? I got into photography.
Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me still? Yeah.
Yes.
Hello. You know what?
Hello.
Hello, Art Wolf. I'm talking to you. I got into photography. I'm now, I just, you know, this book reminded me of how I got into photography as a kid. We had a book. It was from a museum show. I'm sure you remember this, Art, because you're closer to my age than this young lady here, called The Family of Man. Remember that?
Oh, I remember.
Edward Steichen curated it.
Yes.
Amazing photos of people all around the world. And this kind of reminded me of that.
It definitely, The Family of Man was a revolutionary book. It really, photography hasn't been around for that long. You know, up until photos arrived, it was paintings that were depicting war scenes or history. And then photography shows up in, you know, the mid-1800s and through. And there were incremental moments all along the way that kind of redefined photography. And The Family of Man was one of those landmark books that kind of opened up that whole genre of filming and connecting people and the photographic medium.
It's funny, it really influenced me now that, and I hadn't thought about it in years. And then I saw these books of these people around the world with their dogs, and it really reminded me very much of that that feeling, because that's what it was about. It was about the family that we all are all over the world.
Well, and it's interesting too, Art, because it kind of goes off on all of your work, where you're taking a subject that may be overexposed, like dog portraits, but you're showing it in a unique way.
That's a good point.
And so, you know, feeding off of that, you do a lot of work, especially your landscapes, where you're going to areas that have been photographed by many people. How do you get your unique angles?
You know, for me, it's about the unique atmospheric conditions or the light. I will stay up late and get up early just to reveal the landscape. And if it's the Grand Canyon, which I haven't been down, I have to say, in about 12 years. But if it was going to be a landscape that people were extraordinarily familiar with, I would go at great lengths to try to figure out a new way to portray it. Because I'm not going to chimp and, basically follow what other people have already done. It's pointless. It's hardly motivating. But what is to come up with a style, a look, something that we suddenly see the Grand Canyon with new eyes. Mm-hmm. And if you extrapolate that idea on a worldwide basis with all the subjects that are potentially yours, it's endless. And after 30 years of working virtually 7 days a week, I now recognize the fact that I don't have enough days in my life, to do all the things I want to do.
I'll give you an example, because about 2 years ago, my son and I went to China. And we went to the place, it was the most amazing place I've ever been, in Guangxi province. We went down on bamboo rafts down the Li River. And there were people there, there were fishermen there who had been doing the same kind of fishing using cormorants that they've been doing for probably 1,000 years. The cormorants are birds that catch fish. This sounds a little weird. They wire their throat so they can't swallow the fish. The birds go get the fish, come back to the fishermen. The fishermen get them to spit the fish out, and at the end of the day, they give them one fish. And this is amazing symbiotic relationship between these cormorants and these fishermen. Art, you obviously were there.
I have been there.
Because your picture of the week is, in fact, of these cormorant fishermen.
That was a beautiful setup, by the way, Leo. That was really well done.
And I'll tell you why.
He's the king of this.
I took a million pictures, and not one of them looks like this. This is the angle. This is it. This is spectacular. And one of the reasons is because you clearly waited till the end of the day, didn't you?
Yeah, and in fact, it was pouring rain. It was early in the year, meaning it was probably late February, early March. There weren't any tourists around. These guys, actually, it's a dying culture for fishing with cormorants. But there are still a handful of fishermen along the River Li. This is very close to Yangzhou in the south central part of China.
And it's also a beautiful spot. They have these mountains that are just sticking up like fingers.
I don't think that's an accident, the triangle replication.
Interesting, isn't it? The geometry there.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I didn't see that. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Catherine. At any rate, you know what works? I like those eagle hunters. I spent probably a good half hour trying to work this because I wanted the cormorants in the foreground to obscure the direct light of the lantern that's illuminating first fisherman.
Right.
And, you know, for the while, when you're working around them that close, they're kind of staring at you. And I kept on trying to talk through the interpreter to have them not even pay attention to me, to, you know, prepare their lanterns, which would attract fish at night. and to ignore my presence while I'm fumbling around trying to keep dry and my lens dry from the rain. At the same time, getting a fast enough shutter speed that can stop the motion of these wiggling cormorants. But it's one of those subjects that I first saw in 1986 when I traveled there early on, and I've gone back there three times since, including just this spring with a group of people that I was leading on a photographic tour. And we had a great time again with the fishermen. The older men are still there fishing with their boats, and I would say in my lifetime it will no longer occur. So there's a sense of urgency. This photo was taken for a book entitled Moments of Life that will come out next year, a large volume at traditional cultures throughout the world. And this is one of my favorite from that series.
What lens are you using for this shot? And you seem to be up close with a lot of your subjects. What's your favorite lens?
My favorite wide-angle lens is a 16-35 lens. It's a Canon lens. Nikon and the other camera manufacturers have something equivalent to that. But it's a great wide angle. You can get just a few inches away and make the foreground elements that much more stronger and dominant, while the wide angle nature of the lens brings in that beautiful mountain in the distance and the sense of open space.
It's also a fairly fast lens, so you're able to do something like this natural.
Yeah.
Well, I'm on a tripod, and if you look at this clearly, the closest element is the edge of the bamboo raft, and the furthest element is the distant mountain, and they're tacked sharp throughout. So I'm using an f-stop of about f22. I'm on a tripod.
Wow.
I've got a graduated neutral density filter that's aligned with the line of the river, and then I'm just using the natural light of the lanterns to fill in the shadows.
So with a neutral density filter, you had the dark part above or below?
I had the dark part above, because otherwise the white sky would have blown out and overwhelmed any detail whatsoever in the cormorants in the raft.
Right.
Got it. It gives the lens perspective gives a nice intimacy as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and this is part of what I teach when I travel around the country conducting workshops. You know, there's a lot of very fine photographers and teachers out there. I think you had Scott Kelby on recently. These are great teachers and speakers. My take on it is to teach purely composition and aesthetic. That's why I feel comfortable. I draw from my many years as a painter, and I think it's what's lacking in a lot of the seminars offered these days. So I love to teach. I love to educate. The TV show is merely an extension of that love. And so if people are of the mind, if they want to take a workshop or if they want to go on a trip overseas, to tune into our website and see where we're going.
Okay.
I think this is
the best possible kind of vacation, because you're still going somewhere, you're seeing something, you're enjoying it, but you have a mission. And
yeah,
you're learning,
you're exploring,
and you're creating. What a wonderful idea. So tell me some of the places you do these workshops, Art.
Well, this year I did India. We went out and photographed tigers. We went out into Rajasthan in the desert area. We went to the ancient town of Benares along the Ganges. We traveled to Japan and did winter in Japan with temples and snow macaques, Japanese cranes. I took a tour to China where we went to Guilin and we went to Huangshan, went to the rice terraces. In the years to come, I'm going to lead workshops in every part of the planet you can imagine. Greece next year, we'll do Africa next year. So people that think, well, you know, it's a little more expensive than traveling on a large tour. If you think about it, we take about 8 people with us. There's nothing like experiencing a culture from a photographic point of view. You actually interact with the people on the street. You come away from a trip with a much stronger connection to the place you've just traveled.
What level of skill do I need to have?
Money in your wallet.
Okay, I got it.
No, that's all I got.
I guess I can't go. I'm just kidding.
You know, the truth of the matter is I take on everybody, because I feel that everybody's an artist waiting to get out. And so, you know, I would hope that they would have some degree of proficiency with a camera by the time they take a workshop with me. but I'm teaching composition and approach and a lot about the culture itself. So I don't really limit people to a certain level of degree. You know, everybody's going to learn from that point they enter the workshop, and they'll come away with vastly improved images, or I don't know what I'm doing.
Boy, this
and
would,
I do.
This would be like the best vacation ever.
Well, eight people too, so yep, it's very small. Intimate.
How long? A week? 2 weeks? How long do you?
Usually about 10 days to 12 days.
Perfect.
And I bring an assistant along, and we have a guide. So there's generally three people per eight participants.
I want to.
So
do
the ratio
this.
Is good.
Can I do this? And maybe we just. I'll tell you what.
We'll grovel.
I'm not asking you. I'm asking Catherine. Oh, okay. I can't do it without her permission. So I'm thinking, Catherine, maybe, you know, like you and I, we could do this and we'd like bring a video camera and then we could like talk about it in the show and then deduct it from our taxes.
I like this.
It'll be a secret between us and all the IRS.
Nobody will know. The IRS doesn't watch it. Artwolf.com with an E on it if you want to know. And you're going to go to Iceland in just a few weeks.
Yeah. Actually, less than a week from today, I'll be on the plane to Iceland.
Then Romania.
Gabriel Jacon, my co-leader, is going to lead that one. He's originally from Romania. And my God, of all the countries in Europe, it's the one that's retained the traditional culture the most. Mm. And you can see through these photos that Europe is multifaceted. We're all used to the modern cities of Europe. This is traditional with really a strong a farming community with a beautiful Carpathian Alps, grizzly bears. There's the most grizzly bears in any location outside of Alaska, if you'll believe that, in Romania.
They're diamonds.
How do you pick how do you pick the places that you go for these photographic expeditions?
I'm drawing from 30 years of world travel, so I'll often take works.
Oh, he froze up. We had a Skype issue, but you're back, I think.
I am back.
Yeah.
That's because Microsoft just bought Skype.
Yeah. Oh, you feel the same as we do.
We just lost 10,000 potential clients right there.
Yeah, no, that's okay. You don't need them.
So did your parents have some sort of foresight as to what you were going to do for a living when they named you, or are they just hippies?
Yeah, you know, I hated my name when I was a kid. My name was Arthur. And so you can think of all the things that rhyme with art. I hated that name. I wanted it to be a John, but now I'm very happy with the name Art Wolf. It's just perfect for what I do.
It is.
What's your brother's name?
Chuck.
Oh, so he got off easy.
Yeah, he did.
That's why we had to beat
the grass. The grass came later.
The website is artwolf.com. That's where you can find out more about the TV show Travels to the Edge, about the workshops. And we cannot wait to see the book Dogs Make Us Human. That's going to be an amazing. Actually, Ozzy, come here. Can you, Tony, can you give me Ozzy? Because I want to pose for a picture for maybe Art will you know, maybe the book, there's some room in the book still for the picture. Here, like this. Art, good shot, right?
Oh, I love those little dogs. I love those little dogs.
He's a papillon. He really is a sweet dog. He was here the whole time.
Like very quiet.
Yeah, well, I don't know why.
He's not always like that, though.
He's a cross between a dog and a cat.
Yes, it's exact. He's a cat dog. Or a cog. Artwolf.com. Art, such a pleasure to meet you.
Before we go, I wanted to say, Art, one of the things that's great about Art is with his work and his philosophy, he's very much about conservation. And I wanted to share with you, Art, I'm doing my part. And one of the ways I do is the paper that I use.
What is this? Think positive. It's not made out of poo, is it? Art.
What is that?
You want to explain? Is it really made out of poo?
It's made out of poo.
It's poo-poo paper.
I'm hoping elephant, you know, where there's a lot of natural fibers.
It is. It's made out of elephants.
It's made out of elephant poo.
Oh,
it says,
wow.
Recycled and odorless. It's good that they say I'll vouch for that. It's good that they say that. Paper products made from elephant poop. Poopoopaper.com. We're number one at number two is their slogan.
There you go.
Wow. Congratulations, Catherine. You're forward thinking.
Wow.
I'm doing my part, man.
Wow. That's really, that's fantastic. Very unusual. Here, you can have it back. Thank you, Art. Great to talk to you.
It was great talking to both of you. Thank you.
Artwolf.com.
Thank you, Art.
Bye, Catherine.
Bye. I'll see you in Egypt.
All right.
Or Myanmar.
All right.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Wow. I want to show now, the video that I have of the cormorant birds, because I bet people thought I made that up just for the segue. But I didn't. And you know who took the video of it? Don McAllister did. Oh, that was so much fun. He is really
I don't want to go. He's just so want to. Can sweet. We do another one?
Let's do another show. This is way too much fun. Catherine Hall is online at catherinehall.net. That's her blog. And there's a link there to the Ooh, I don't know what that is. There we go. There's a link there to the Catherine Hall Studios, so you can hire her to a lot of her great work. And the blog is good because you're doing a lot of teaching now.
Yeah, and definitely follow me on Twitter, which is Catherine_Hall. That's a good way to stay in touch. _Hall
will take you to the Catherine Hall Studios here at catherinehall.net. There's a lot
There's my pride and joy.
Hey, yeah, we got last week's podcast. We do this show on Twit at Live. Oh, that's a great picture. Wow. Is that Vietnam?
Yeah, that was a hospital series that I did.
Wow. We should show more of your pictures. I think people forget, you know, we talk to all these great photographers, how good you are. So you put one of these up every week. And people
Yeah,
can
well,
look
Trish, Trish makes me look good.
Yeah, right. Yeah, sure.
She does.
It's all about the assistants. CatherineHall.net if you want to know more about that. We do this show every Tuesday at around 1, 1.30 p.m. Pacific. That's 4 or 4.30 p.m. Eastern Time, 20 to 20.30 UTC at live.twit.tv. But if you miss the show, don't worry, because you go to twit.tv/photo and get all the episodes. The first 12 or so episodes that we did with Lisa Bettany. And, of course, the new episodes that we've done with Catherine Hall. And we've just been having so much fun doing the show. So thank you, Catherine.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it.
Thanks, you guys, for tuning in. See you next – no, not next week, actually.
We should tell people that, because it's the 5th of July.
I'm going to be floating the river.
And she's such a good patriot. You're going to Tahoe.
Yeah.
And we're going to take the week off next Tuesday.
Yes.
So we'll be back 2 weeks hence.
Yeah, so we'll come back with a great show.
Good. Can't wait. Do you know who it's going to be?
Yes, we do. Landscape photographer. From the Tasmania trip.
Oh.
Peter
Krogh?
Peter Eastway.
Yeah. Oh, the Australian.
Yes.
Peter is great.
We're going international when we come back.
Oh, he's got a great accent, too. He's very cute.
Oh, wait. Is it? Oh.
No?
Actually, no. He's the week after. Coming up next, Leo.
I have some good
Your
pictures
one and
of
only.
Peter.
Your favorite.
Bruce Dale? Oh, my goodness. Okay, so you're going to really want to tune in 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Which will be July 12th. Bruce Dale, who was a photographer for National Geographic for decades and is one of the best raconteurs. It's a wonderful, he's one of the most, you know what? I love photographers. I don't know why.
I think if Leo could be anyone, he would be Bruce.
Yeah. Or Peter. Peter's good looking fella.
Peter's awesome.
He's really great.
Both of them, you know what's great about both of them? Very humble, despite being incredibly skilled and, you know, world renowned.
I thought it was really interesting that Art, and you caught this, that he was a painter first, because clearly geometry and composition figures large, and color figure large in his, and he did those as examples, those black and white abstracts too.
Oh yeah.
Which are all about
very
geometry.
Yeah.
Yeah. So really you could see the painter.
Actually, definitely. I wonder if he's good at math. A lot of times photographers that are good at math are, like for me, for example.
Do more geometry?
Well, I'm particularly good at math, pat. And I would say that's one of my strengths, is just balance within a photograph and sort of having an organic geometry present there.
It's in your head. You know it. You see it.
Yeah, it's sort of an intuitive thing, I would say.
Yeah. Thank you, Catherine. Great to have you. Thank you all for being here.
We'll see you
next week on Twit Photo. Bye-bye.
2 weeks.
Oh, I should, before we go, goodbye, a plug. This Week in Photography, our sister podcast, is going to be doing a show on Thursday live.
Ooh.
So you want to know more, go to pixelcore.com or follow Alex Lindsay, because they're going to do a live special with Derek Street, Frederick Van Johnson, Alex Lindsay, and others from our new studios.
Oh, wow.
But not our part of the new studios, from their part of the new studios.
It's a teaser of what's to come,
It's a teaser of what's to come. So that's this Thursday. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Bye. Thank you.
Good show.
That was awesome. That was so
Such
much fun.
Such an amazing show.